is that birds and bats over on the island of Java, they began to carry the seeds from these fig trees, the only thing left standing on Java. They began to carry the seeds from there to the island of Krakatoa. And those seeds, they found their way down into the ash, and somehow they began to come up, and they began to grow fig trees as well. So from black lava comes new life. And then as that new life happened, as these fig trees began to grow on that island that had been so devastated, well, it began to attract more birds and more living things to the fig trees. And then they began to bring seeds of other kinds. And before you knew it, out of the ashes grew a whole forest. And if you go there today, that's what you'll find. You'll find a forest thriving. Now, today we begin a five-part series on creation. And today specifically, we're talking about planting. And the text today comes from a book of the Bible known as the Song of Solomon, or sometimes by its Hebrew name, which is the Song of Songs. This is not a book of the Bible that you will hear a lot of sermons about. It's not a book of the Bible that we talk about very much. As a matter of fact, the passage of Scripture I read today is the only time anything from the Song of Solomon even appears in the Revised Common Lectionary, which is that three-year system of Scripture reading that we use sometimes as preachers. It's the only thing. And so let's dig in for a moment. Let's try to find out what this ancient song from the Old Testament might have to say to you and me today. Now, in this song, it's springtime. The author says that the winter has gone, and there's new life abounding on the earth at that time. It says in verse 13 that our friend the fig tree has already formed its early fruit. Now, fig trees are a funny thing. I was not an expert on fig trees before preparing for this message this week, but fig trees actually pop up quite a bit in the Bible. You know the first place they pop up? The first place we actually meet the fig tree is right in the Garden of Eden. As a matter of fact, the fig tree is the only tree in that creation story that's actually mentioned by name. When the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they took the leaves, the fig leaves from the tree, and they put them together in order to cover themselves. So right at the beginning of creation, we meet the fig tree forming some sort of useful purpose. And then later on, it's mentioned when God gives the promised land to the Jewish people. And the promised land was not just any old piece of land. It was a special piece of land. In Deuteronomy 8, it says, "The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey." Now, there are a couple of rather extraordinary things about fig trees. One of them is that once a fig tree is planted, it actually grows fast. I don't know if you knew that or not, but a lot of fruit trees, you plant, you get all excited, and you work the soil, and you plant the tree into the ground, and then what do? You wait. And then you wait some more, and you wait some more, and the tree finally grows, and then eventually maybe some fruit pops up some years down the road, and then maybe that you have to wait a while for it to produce good fruit, even after it begins producing fruit. Not so with fig trees. Fig trees actually grow pretty fast, and they begin producing fruit pretty fast. And there's another interesting thing about the fig tree. The fig tree actually has two yields a year. So it produces fruit in the spring around the the Jewish holiday of Passover, and then again around harvest time, around the Jewish holidays of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. As a matter of fact, if you go to Israel today, what you will find across the land of Israel is you will find fig trees blossoming all across that land. There's a rich history of the fig tree and the Jewish people all throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, if you study your Bible, what you're going to find is that when the nation of Israel is having a hard time, they're drifting from God, what happens is the fig trees, they go away. But in a time of redemption for the Jewish people, over and over, we see the Old Testament writers saying the fig trees have come back. And so it's almost like a barometer for the health of the nation of Israel. Now, that's all well and good, right? We've learned a little bit about fig trees. But the question is, well, what can we get out of that? That little piece of creation, the fig tree, what does it mean for you and for me? And so this idea of growing fast and no waiting, I think that speaks to us, because what often happens in our lives, and particularly in our faith lives, is that we tend to put things off. God might call us to do something, and then what happens? Well, we say, well, God, after I finish school, I'll do that. Or maybe, you know, I just got married. Maybe after we get a few years under our belts, I'll do that. Or, you know, we have small children when they grow up. Or maybe when I retire, I'll go and serve you. You ever done that before? Have you ever had a situation where in your heart you're called to do something, but you keep making excuses for it? I see that a lot in the young people I work with, the 20-somethings in particular. They'll articulate to me some sort of dream or passion that they have for their lives. But then the very next thing they do is they kick the can down the road and they say, well, okay, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to wait until I'm 40 before I do it. You ever run into something like that? Well, the fact of the matter is that we are all planted by the Creator. We are a part of creation. We're planted. And what we're called to do is we're called to bloom where we're planted. And we're not called to do that sometime in the future. When God calls us, when he plants us for a purpose. And we're to live into that purpose every single day of our lives. Not sometime in the future. The Apostle Paul calls it growing into the full stature of Christ. But it doesn't stop there, does it? No. We're not just called to grow. What we're called to do is to bear fruit. And when we begin bearing fruit, not to stop bearing fruit. Now, another interesting thing about figs, we'll stay with our fig example here. Another interesting thing about figs is that, unlike most fruits, they actually ripen on the tree, not off the tree. A lot of times fruit, you know, you get it and it's not quite ripe. You pick it and then eventually it ripens as time goes on. It becomes sweeter and better to eat. Not so with a fig. A fig ripens right on the tree. Now, in the Bible, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And in other words, we are inextricably tied to Christ. Christ is the source of our strength and our nourishment and our ability to get up and face another day. He goes on to say that I'm the vine, you're the branches, and the Father is the gardener. Everything is planted for a reason. Everything is planted for a purpose, and that purpose is to bear fruit. Matthew 7 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And why is that? Why is that really? Well, the reason is it's not fulfilling its purpose. And if it's not fulfilling its purpose, it isn't growing into the reason it was planted to begin with, and it's of no use. What is that purpose, really? Well, that purpose isn't just to bear fruit. It isn't just a one time in the history of your life to do something. No, it's to grow into the full stature of Christ. It's to bear fruit, and it's to multiply. John 15, Jesus says, branches that bear fruit, God prunes in order that they might bear more fruit. So remember, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. He says the Father is the gardener, and what the Father does, he casts away the branches that aren't bearing fruit, but the branches that are bearing fruit, what he does to them is he prunes them in order that they might bear more fruit. So like all of creation, we have been planted, and God has blessed you with the ability to bear fruit. Do you believe that? God has blessed you with the ability to bear fruit right where you are. That might be delivering meals on wheels. That might be working with children. That might be simply calling somebody who needs an encouraging word. That might be going to Africa and feeding people that don't have food. It doesn't matter. God has uniquely equipped each and every one of you to bear fruit, to bloom where you're planted. But it doesn't stop there. In the pruning process, God has equipped you in that process not just to bear fruit, but to keep bearing fruit. And in the process of keeping bearing fruit, to spread fruit. To spread it far and wide. And that's the way it works, right? That's the way the church works. When Jesus called us to go and make disciples, once we have received the message, we are to tell others, and those others are to tell other people. And that's the way the church grows. That's the way the church multiplies. That's the way the good news gets propagated all across this planet. Just like those seeds, right? Just like those seeds on that desolate island. The only thing left standing were the fig trees. The birds came. The birds accumulated those seeds. And then the birds carried those seeds to another place. And eventually, it took time. But eventually those seeds began to take root, and then something else grew, right? But I imagine the story didn't stop there. The story didn't stop with these two Indonesian islands, because as those trees began to grow out of the ashes on this volcanic island, well, then what happened? The seeds, they began to spread again, right? To a new place. Into a new place where maybe there wasn't hope. New life sprang up again. And then it happened again. And then it happened again. And then it happened again. Sometimes I think you and I, we fall into the lie that what we do doesn't matter. Who am I? I'm just an insignificant person. Does it really matter if I go and, you know, I can't do much. I don't have a lot of money. Does it really matter if I go and feed these five people? Is that really going to change the world? Is it really going to make any appreciable difference in the world? Or if I go and I read a story to these kids in this place, or whatever it is that you do in order to spread God's love in the world, sometimes we fall into the trap, does it really make any difference at the end of the day? And the answer is that it does. The Bible says, everything you do, do it as if unto the Lord. Everything you do. Every little thing that you do, I'm here to tell you today, it makes a difference. And sometimes it makes an eternal difference. But it all starts with a relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's the source of the power. That's the source of the goodness. When we become connected to the vine, well, that's when our efforts to bear fruit take off. That's when the fruit begins to come. That's when the fruit begins to happen and multiply across this planet. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. And I hope you have one today. If not, I promise you that Jesus the Christ is standing there waiting to meet you where you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let's stand now and offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Give somebody a handshake or a hug and say, God loves you, and so do I. Mikey, God loves you, and so do I. 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 Okay, we can return to our seats, please.
Tell me what I'm going to say again, I forgot.
The blood of Christ shed for you. You come up right after the Lord's Prayer. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God as we prepare I'm going slowly so the worship leader can make his way to the keyboard. As we prepare to receive our offering today, let us pray. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you for this day. We thank you for your word in print. We thank you for your word in Jesus Christ. Take now this offering. Multiply it. Scatter it like seeds across the earth. And use it, O God, for your glory. We make this prayer now through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the presence and comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God, the love of God be with you and dwell among you this day and in the days ahead. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go now in peace, my friends, and may the peace of God go with you.